Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on After Hours, 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Jacob Mustard producing the show for us today. Don't forget, on Saturday morning, get your day started with us. Mac and I are going to be doing pregame from 9 to noon, getting you ready for everything you need to know. Everybody from the station is going to be joining the show, getting you set and ready for the first Chiefs playoff game in 2025 against the Houston Texans. But yeah, it's time for our out of left field question. Oh, yeah. All right. So Matt gave you a little bit of a teaser going into the break. I don't have the audio of this, actually. I said I would bring it in, but I didn't. That's my fault. But LeBron was on New Heights with Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce and revealed that he was offered $10 million going into his senior year, Matt. Wow. He's not graduated yet or anything. Going into his senior year of high school, he said he had meetings with Adidas. He had meetings with Nike. He had a meeting with Reebok. And Reebok handed him a check, slid him a check that said, if you don't talk to anybody else, we're willing to give you $10 million. And LeBron was like, I had to say, let me step out of the room for a minute. Like, give me a minute. This doesn't have to be to retire or anything like that, I guess. But if you were to, Mac, have meetings with somebody, like, look, I know you're open to anything right now, but we don't want you talking to anybody else. We're willing to offer you this amount of money. How much money does that have to be? I understand that our financial requirements would not be the same.
No. Well, my financial ceiling is not the same as LeBron James either. I mean, LeBron James at 17 years old is thinking about how much millions he's going to make. Me at 26 is thinking, okay, 50K would be awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear
100K?
You.
I don't know.
What? I don't know. Okay.
Is it $1 million?
Maybe let's do like a retirement thing instead.
Okay.
This
I
is
like
what
this.
We're going to do.
Okay.
You're offered a certain amount of money to retire, to be done.
I like that.
To be done. Done. What money is that? What value is that? Similar question we've had on Cody and Gold before. It was a while ago. 913-586-7965. I think the number is way higher for me, because as soon as you get this money, you're done. There's no need for you. Like, what money do you need to retire from broadcast? Like, in period. You never do a show again. You and I would never do After Hours again, Mac.
That's sad.
You would never do Fesco and Dusty.
Can I do it for free?
Again.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, again, you can't do it. What money amount are you being given? 913-586-7965. You're working right now. You might be working right now. You might be driving home. You might be headed to work tomorrow morning. What amount of money does it take for you to quit your job outright and never work again? To be offered.
10 mil?
LeBron? 16-year-old LeBron James money?
I think 16-year-old LeBron James money, and then I'm done. What do you think? Is that gonna? Where are you at? I'm curious.
So my money amount. So I love my job so much.
Well, of course.
I love it.
I do too.
I love it so much.
Oh, now he's gonna make me seem like
that.
No.
It's not even that you're being an a-hole, because
there's no amount of money that could make me leave 96.5 The Fan.
No. That it's not even 96.5 The Fan. It's just in general,
yeah,
like doing this
the passion
job.
For this job. Yeah.
Alex and Cody were lower. They were. I don't know if they were at 10 million. They might have been a little bit higher. I think 25 million is what Gold had said. I'm like, look, you got to give me at least 200, 250 million.
Whoa!
Maybe. if you gave me 10 million, I'm still showing my. If I won $10 million tonight, tomorrow morning, I will be here doing the show without a problem.
Wow.
If you gave me $50 million, I would still be here doing the show, even with the money. Cool with me. Fine. I'm doing the job.
Interesting.
I don't know if you could get me to leave. Like that's the thing, because I like it so much.
That's the thing. It'd be tough for me too. I'm thinking about retirement. Like, yeah, when you said we're not doing After Hours again, I was like, well, I still want to do it even with my $10 million.
You can't do it.
Yeah, then I'd want a lot more. You're right. Then that does make me from want more. 200 million.
From the 816, 20 mil.
Okay, see, I think that's
a respectable number.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. 20 mil.
Because with 20 million, pay off all your debt.
Oh, for sure.
Buy the house of your dreams, buy the car of your dreams, and you still got money left over.
You can invest money,
and you're good to go. I totally get it.
Yeah, get a money manager and figure out what to invest in, and you're fine.
20 mil would be enough for you to retire with zero problem and not, no matter the age. You could be our age.
I want some money, too, to give to my family.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, I need some couple mil here, mil there. So, I could probably still do that. Help out me, Mom. Okay.
Jacob, what are you at here? How much money would it take for you to be done with everything? You just sail off into the sunset.
Oh, the mic's not on. Oh, okay. Nope. Not there yet. Well,
oh, okay. It's all right.
No one will ever know. The world may never know how much money Jacob mustered.
Jacob didn't even have an answer because you know what? This man is grinding.
That's what it is.
No money. $1 billion. Jacob's still
Jacob's
here.
Jacob's saying, nope, he's staying right
Jacob's
here, brother.
Jacob's still here. Shout out to Jacob, man. 913-586-7965. I work at a bank, and it's boring. I'm out for $10K and a case of beer.
816.
I'm going to be honest.
You ain't going to make it long.
You
got a fun few months, maybe.
In fairness, the way that I answered the question was, how much would it take for you to leave your job?
Yeah.
$10K, that's it? That's how boring your job is, really?
I mean,
Cody Tapp has worked at a bank before. I'm going to have to ask Cody.
Yeah, that's what I said. There you go.
Cody's been a banker. He tends to, if you listen to Cody and Gold from 10 to 2 every single day, Monday through Friday, you would know Cody Tapp is a banker or former banker. He mentions it quite often in terms of experience. He even gives advice in terms of how to rob a bank.
Oh, yeah. He says that's his one. Jeez, that's lovely. Okay. He says that's his one, like, real job, right? That's what he says.
I don't know if I've ever had a quote-unquote real job before, I guess. Like, I've never worked in the restaurant industry. I've worked, not community service necessarily, but I've worked in, volunteer work before and volunteering at a golf course, of course. But it wasn't... I'm going to say this. It wasn't out of good faith. I volunteered at a golf course so I could get free golf. It wasn't like, I'm just going to volunteer because I want to be a nice person. If there's any golf courses out there who need somebody, I'm your guy. Sign me up.
Humble plug.
From the 660, 25 mil.
Yeah. Okay. So it seems 20 to 25. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think I undercut it with 10. I think I'd need to be more than 20.
The consensus on Cody and Gold was I love my job too much that I wouldn't leave. If I was offered 100 mil, I wouldn't leave.
Brown nosers.
It's not even that I want to. I'm not kissing the ass of anybody. I'm not trying to be the teacher's pet in any way, shape, or form. I'm dead serious, dead honest with you. If I won $100 million, I wouldn't know what to do with my time. I think I would get. I have like a minor amount of OCD, ADHD. I would not know what to do with my time. Dead serious. I wouldn't be able to live in Kansas City. At least golfing, I'd be able to get something out of golfing. I would have to live in a warm climate.
Yeah,
or I'd have to travel where it's like, look,
have another house.
I'm watching the Australian Open.
Yeah, I'll go traveling, man.
It's 81 degrees in Melbourne. Crikey, mate. I'm on the golf course. I'm wrestling with the Gators like Steve Irwin, RIP.
Wow.
And then I'd come back to the States. I don't know. Somebody from the 913 said 2 mil.
Not a lot.
Not a lot, but 2 mil is enough for you to, I think, for most people. I might be wrong. For most people, pay off your debt. Get control of everything in your life, maybe be able to buy some things, or just straight up be like, you know what? I'm not working. I'm going to last this long. I'm going to invest this amount of money. I'm good to go. Or maybe you don't have any debt and 2 million can last you paying off your house. You don't have to pay for anything but groceries maybe at that point even where, I mean, you might be able to make it last or hey, not that you should do this, but 2 million, just drop a parlay down, you know, 2 million
That's
turns
it,
into
man.
2 mil turns into 9 million and all
drop
of a sudden
all the 2 mil on the parlay. Patrick Mahomes to 3-peat. There you go. There's your straight up bet.
Someone said Alex and Cody's pet. They said whatever Alex and Cody's pet. The amount of times that I disagree on that show, by the way, with those guys, I'm not anybody's pet, I promise. Like if I would be like, oh, you got Cody and Gold, you boys are right. I don't even have anything to say. You know what? Maybe the text line wants me to be the pet so I can shut up.
That's it.
Because I do get a lot of Drew. Why are you talking right now?
Yo, savage.
Everybody gives me criticism too. This is like a rant right now. Everybody gives me criticism. You realize that I picked the Chiefs like 15 times this year. I don't hate the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, you don't.
I will say this. There might be a video that comes out on Saturday that says, these Chiefs, man, I'm about sick and tired of this, man. Can anybody do this, you know? Does Joe Burrow have to be the only damn guy that can knock,
that can knock this team off?
Because evidently nobody else can. That was the out of left field question. Coming up next, could it be a legacy game for D-Hop? We're going to talk about his impact potentially in the playoffs. What could he do on Saturday? What could he do in the postseason? 913-586-7965. Would love to hear your thoughts. It's After Hours. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on After Hours, 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Jacob Muster producing the show. All right, so there's a lot of storylines, obviously, going into a playoff game. DeAndre Hopkins has been a talking point, though, just throughout his time here. Some of it being, as we've discussed before, like his percentage of snaps. We've talked about it, like, is Andy holding him back? The text line would like to think that D-Hop's going to be fine. He's going to get so many more snaps. You think the same thing, Mac. You think he's going to see a significant uprise. Yeah.
Big uptick.
I think it's the right way to describe it, because a legacy game can mean different things. He's been in the postseason before. We've seen him put up a great game against the Raiders earlier on in the season. We know how good DeAndre Hopkins is, but him doing it in a playoff game in a way that's different. Like, if he were to go for, I forget what exactly his stat line was against the Raiders, but like 8 for 90 or 8 for 100 or something and a touchdown, that's the best game he might have ever had in his postseason career. So how much are you looking forward to that being a possibility, Mac, in this one? Obviously, you're going up against two good corners in Lassiter and Stingley. Not that he can't do it, but are you expecting at some point for him to have an uptick in production, at least, if not have one of these legacy games where he just kind of snaps?
I think there will be a game this playoff run where he has a 100-yard game. That's my take. I think the uptick in snaps is coming. I think it's been pretty obvious that they've held him back. I mean, the reason is known. They now have the first overall pick in the third round, thanks to the Tennessee Titans, because he didn't play over 60% of the snaps. He played under 50% a lot of those weeks, around 50% a lot of those weeks. So now, if you can get that up to 70, 80%, which I believe it will, you're going to see an uptick in production. You're going to see an uptick in targets. Six playoff games played, 446 yards in those games. So 74 yards a game. He's only got one playoff touchdown. Now, the last time he was seen playoff football was in Kansas City, 2019. He played two playoff games that run, 15 receptions on 22 targets, 208 yards, zero touchdowns. So those were his best two games. He had 100 yards in both those games, or averaged out to have 100 yards in both those games. So I expect him to be all over the place, man. And this is going to be a lot of ulterior motivation for him facing his former team in the same stadium now on the other side of things. He's never had serious success. Is this a legacy game for DeAndre Hopkins? Not in the way that it can hurt his legacy, but, and I think this is probably true for the whole playoffs, this is house money for DeAndre Hopkins and his legacy. He's already borderline Hall of Fame. He can't do anything to really hurt himself. Yeah. And I think he should already be a Hall of Famer. Now all he can do is solidify that, ensure his status. And even if it's not 100 yards, it's, like you said, another 4 or 5 for 80 in a touchdown game. That's huge, man.
If he's a big reason why the Chiefs win this game, and he's a big reason why the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, period, then he obviously solidifies his case. But him doing it in the postseason in general, like, he might not even have to have a big game in the Super Bowl or whatever, but if he plays well, then I think that it obviously solidifies his legacy in a way, because it's in the big time games when the games matter the most. I do think, though, if he does have a legacy game, I feel like, or Hollywood Brown does, because I think Hollywood Brown is a guy that could potentially just kind of pop off, because he's been targeted 7-8 times in the games he's played. Who knows how much that could be as we continue to go around in the postseason. But I feel like this game could be more of a Travis Kelce game, maybe because of the secondary and Lassiter and Stingley and those boys lock things down. maybe not as well as we might think they do, but I think that they're very good corners, particularly obviously Derek Stingley Jr., who was an All-Pro this year. I believe he was an All-Pro. I might be wrong. I'm sorry.
He was first-team All-Pro this year. Yep.
All right. So, but yes, I think it feels like more of a Kelsey game potentially on Saturday. And then when we get to Baltimore or Buffalo, that's the D-Hop game, or that's the Hollywood game, where,
yeah, I could see that
they go off a little bit more because the secondary is a little bit weaker with those two teams compared to that of the Houston Texans in terms of just direct personnel with cornerback play. But yeah, I feel like this is a big opportunity for him in the standpoint. I like what you said though, Mackey. I think you're spot on. If he doesn't play that great, it does nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing to hurt him and his legacy and how good of a wide receiver we view him as. It can only help a little bit. And he's played good in the postseason, but as you mentioned, he's only played in six games. Like, he hasn't
six
had that
games,
sample
one
size
touchdown.
Where you look, I mean, the same thing. Like, Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer, obviously, but you desired to have a guy like that in the postseason, where at one time, like, D-Hop was in, like, the conversation with Julio Jones.
It was him or Julio for like 5 years.
And, you know, and A.J. Green and Antonio Brown. That's like the quartet of guys where you want to see them play in the best games because they are the best at their respective positions. Obviously, we saw Antonio Brown a ton in those games, but D-Hop, you wanted to see him a little bit more because of how good of a wide receiver they were. And I think that this is definitely a postseason because, again, they have the quarterback to do it. Not that he didn't have Deshaun Watson, but they lost to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. He had Matt Schaub, I believe, if Schaub was still playing at the time when he was just coming into the league. Or TJ Yates or whatever.
Probably Case Keenum. I mean, he's played with a bunch of terrible quarterbacks.
Yeah. This is the best quarterback he's ever had.
By far, it's not even close. The last time they played the Texans in Week 16, again, played less than 50% of the snaps that game, I believe. 4 catches, 37 yards. You look at Xavier Worthy, nice game. 7 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Samaje Perine had that big catch, so he had 3 catches
for
50
yards.
Are we,
along with the corners, are we sure that they're not going to be like, look, we need to take out Xavier Worthy in this game, where all of a sudden, Travis Kelce, things open up a little bit. Travis Kelce gets taken away. Hey, D-Hop is there. Hollywood Brown is there. That's, again, that goes also into this run that you and I have been talking about on After Hours when we've been on for, like, months now. What does this team look like when they have Hollywood Brown? How good, like, just imagining how good they could be on offense, where, you know, in previous years, they just have Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. You know, they just have Travis Kelce. They don't even have a good wide receiver like that. They got Rashee Rice. That is it. They got 4 bona fide guys that they can go to. And then you throw in Justin Watson every now and then, who makes a big play.
Yeah.
Juju, who makes a solid play, or also makes a really key block in the run game in any way, shape, or form.
Yes. So, Juju's like the 8th option on offense. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I know Juju's not Juju anymore, but, like, this is an experienced guy who won a Super Bowl with this team and was the
and
number
was a
one
key
wide
factor,
factor 2 years ago on this squad. So, yeah, and now he's the 7th or 8th option. The depth that this team has built in a short amount of time in the offensive side of the football is remarkable. And I've said it. I know it's a broken record, Drew, but you know what I'm about to say. Come January, come this Saturday, you're going to see the best offense in the National Football League. I know you haven't seen it all season, but it's all happening now. The left tackle is going to be solidified. We're going to see Joe Tooney there. Okay, I'm telling you it now. It's not going to be DJ Humphries. We've got Hollywood Brown, who's healthy. He's played a few weeks. DeAndre Hopkins, throw the snap counts out the window, baby. Let's go. Strap up. 80% of the snaps. Travis Kelce, the Ferrari's ready to go. Noah, like, everything's here. It's all happening. It's time, baby.
Yeah, this is where
I feel bad for Houston.
For all you Chiefs fans, this is where the season starts. You know,
this is it, baby.
This is kind of what we've heard all year. Well, we don't care about the regular season because we're going to be in the playoffs, and it's fine. And that's when the real season begins. You know, we're here, and obviously, we're going to talk about that more on Saturday for Chiefs pregame. Mac and I are going to be running the boat. There, we're also going to be producing the boat.
I found that out from you this morning. I was like, okay, sounds good.
Yeah, that was the same reaction I had. But hey, you know what?
Hey, I'm just happy to be doing it.
This is what we do, baby. This is what Mac and I do.
Grind, grind.
We're going to be with you for 3 hours on Saturday. We're here for another half hour or so on After Hours. Don't go anywhere. We're talking playoff expansion. Barbershop has got an idea that I think actually, like, Bob in particular really liked it. I think it's interesting. We're going to bring that idea to you next. It's After Hours right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing after hours on 96.5 The Fan. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Jacob Musser producing the show for us today. So, playoff expansion talk. I think this it's a really interesting concept because, and I don't know if this is because the college football playoff has expanded the playoff and all these other things, but conversations generated up a little bit in regards to the format changing, potentially not more teams. We've already done that. We've got 14 teams, seven in both conferences. But what if they switched up how things kind of went in the playoffs, whether it be divisions or no divisions? Because obviously that's currently a big part.
Hate that.
In the deal. I'm going to let you go for this a little bit more, Mac, because you're the one that put this in the rundown. Barbershop's got an idea. Basically, in regards to you seeding all of the teams 1 through 14, yep. Not 1 through 7, it's like a mix of conferences where there's no more. There's an AFC and an NFC, but when you hit the playoffs, you don't have an AFC and NFC anymore.
It's interconference. It's the best records. The division winners in Barbershop's playoff idea, the division winners still make the playoffs, but they are not guaranteed a home game. But they are going to be in the playoffs. So divisions still matter. That is one part of that idea that I do like. But I'm going to be honest, the rest of it, I'm not a fan of. I like the delineations of conferences. I like AFC and NFC. You staying where you are and you making up and then you go to the Super Bowl. It's the best NFC team hypothetically and the best AFC team hypothetically. And they go at it. The best of each conference. The battle of the two foes. That's what I want. I don't want Buffalo and Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm sorry. I know those might be the two best teams to some people. That's not what I want. Like, that's not the way this works to me. And I know that's my old man take. And divisions,
I don't think it's an old man take.
I've seen a lot of people getting mad about the divisions, too. We got to get rid of divisions, this Minnesota thing. It's like, dude, this is a complete anomaly that we're seeing. One, two divisions. Okay, well then, hey, let me tell you, AFC South fans, football sucks for you now. Football sucks. You have nothing to root for. You have no reason to watch.
Yeah.
Teams in both crappy divisions, NFC South, AFC South, they get to root against each other. They have something that they're fighting for. Hey, man, we only need 9 wins. We can make the playoffs, then we get in the dance. And you say, okay, Mac, I don't want a 9-win team in the playoffs. Well, okay, we've seen, go back to my AFC South stance, we've seen two AFC South teams in the divisional round the last few years. Like, they can make things happen. And Jacksonville gave Kansas City a run for their money a few years back at Arrowhead. I was at that game. Chad Henne, 98 yards. Let's go. It was great. Started in my end zone. It was fantastic.
That's good.
That's good for you. Nice job. I am so for divisions. I think the rivalry that you build up playing a team twice. I mean, we've talked about sample size previously in the show when talking about, you know, critiquing playoff quarterbacks and looking at their playoff games. And it's like, well, you've only played two games. Like, the sample size is so small. I would say the same for rivalries and divisions. Playing a team twice in a season, that's massive.
Yeah.
In a 16, 17 game season, you've got two games against one team, and now you've got six games against the three same. I mean, dude, that is a huge, I mean, it's a third of your season based off your division. To change that is to change a massive integral part of the infrastructure of the NFL system. I don't like it.
It is
hard, I know, but I don't like it.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, thinking about if they got rid of divisions entirely and they just did, I guess, conference play. Turns into college football. Because how many teams are in the SEC? 18. How many teams are in the Big Ten? 18. Mm. How many teams are in the AFC? 16. Mm-hmm. How many in the NFC? 16. Mm-hmm. So it turns into college football, believe it or not. So I wonder, to your point, Matt.
He says with a smirk.
Well, no, this is the thing. I'm not necessarily for it. Guys, I agree. Why would you change what you have right now? It's fine. Like, you don't. I don't know if it's college football influencing this at all whatsoever. But I do wonder, in regards to the conversation of what makes any sense or why would they do this? Or is college football actually playing a part in these decisions that could be made? Like, how would you make it so the top 8 in each conference make it. So half of the teams in the conference make it, which is kind of like the NBA. Because there's 15 teams in both conferences. Teams. Eight teams technically make the playoffs, even though you have the play-in. You wouldn't have a play-in in the NFL. But the top eight in the AFC make it, top eight in the NFC. Again, this is the thing, though. Nobody gets a bye in that situation. Because there's eight teams.
And that's terrible. Because they're going to add an extra regular season game. That's happening.
Right. So
which I'm fine with.
So to me, honestly, what would you rather do in this situation? 913-586-7965. This leads me to ask a question. Would you rather have expansion of the regular season or you make the playoffs eight teams each side and you have the playoffs that way?
Expand the regular season. Don't change the playoffs. You've already changed the playoffs too much. The playoffs were perfect, Drew. They had it. It was fine. Now, I know, the NFL, more money. I know. I'm not talking about what the NFL wants. I'm talking about what I want. I'm the NFL fan. Yeah. What I want to consume, the product was better before. Six teams in each conference. Two teams get the bye. It was immaculate. It was perfect. Mm. I mean, Bob went through it this morning. I mean, the seven seeds are 1-10 in the first round. They're 1-10. The one win was Green Bay last year at Dallas. The average margin of victory in those first rounds is like 14 points. It's two touchdown games. They're not close games. We don't need more teams. There aren't enough good teams. There's like five or six great teams. There's five or six mediocre, middling teams. And there's like 20 teams that are like, what are they doing? They're in trouble.
I think somebody from the text line brings it up nicely. 913-586-7965 to text in. From the 913, why are we always trying to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
It's fine how it is now.
Exactly. Love it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Mm. I mean, this is the most successful sporting league in the world. There is part of a reason for that. Yes, it's because we're crazy in America and we consume this sport 24/7, 365, and they're taking advantage of that a little bit. But they are going to run into a problem. They are going to change so much to where fans say, "Meh, I'm out." Like you will see an impact if you add that eighth team that you're talking about, dude. Okay, did you want Seattle in the playoffs? Were you really pining to see Geno?
Well, that was part of Barber's point. Actually, was the Seahawks were 10-7 with six conference and four division wins, would have edged out the Broncos in the playoffs technically, or not in the playoffs, but in the scenario of record wise making the playoffs.
Not beating anyone.
Barber's point, though, and I think this is where it gets interesting, because in college football, you have the rivalry still. Like in the end of, like, you would like the Chiefs would still play the Broncos the most. They would still play the Chargers the most. They would still play the Raiders the most.
In Barbershop, yes.
Correct.
And his idea. Yep.
I like the concept.
I like that too.
For Barber's point, though, it would be very rare. Multiple teams are locked in any slot, and week 18 could move teams around. So every single game, all the games would matter, where you wouldn't have somebody resting in week 18 or 17 and 18. I think that is an interesting dynamic of this. But again,
you should be able to rest.
It falls in with the concept of most teams don't have to rest. Like the Chiefs are just kind of an anomaly in this situation. Other teams are as well in this, but the Chiefs have consistently been an anomaly because, again, they earned it though. It's not like they didn't earn that
115 games.
It's not like they're given that extra rest just because. So I think that is a fair point from both Barber, but also understandably why you don't care for it either, Mac. I think that's very, very, very interesting in regards to the conversation of, do you like the expansion idea?
Yeah.
Because expansion means you go to eight on a side, technically, if we're expanding.
If we're
changing the format, we're looking at how things are reseeded and all that other stuff, where to me, honestly, why do you need, if you're just going to mesh everything together, why do we need conferences in the first place?
Exactly.
Why do we need, like, honestly, I don't know if, because divisions in the NBA don't matter at all whatsoever
in terms of
seeding.
It sucks.
But it is in regards to who you play more often, which I think is what the NFL, like, there'll still be, you might still have divisions, but they don't determine who's in or out of the playoffs, which obviously hurts a little bit because of the point that you made, Mac, where if you're the AFC South or if you're the NFC South, you feel like you never have a shot at this.
What are we doing here? Exactly.
It turns into college football in a way for those teams. Like, they turn into a group of five teams in a way.
And I love how you did that NBA analogy. That is perfect. And I think the point for that, at least for me when I hear that, is go, well, yeah, they still kept divisions. They still play those teams more. But rivalries have gone down in the NBA when divisions went down. When divisions lost meaning, rivalries began to too. Now, again, there's going to be rivalries that'll always have that. Philadelphia and Boston, all right? They don't need to really juice that one up. But there are other ones that do need a little bit of juice. And Those have gone away. Those have faded. I mean, that's part of the reason, completely separate topic, that the NBA has lost some popularity. Like, we need, as normal, neutral, regular fans, just something to get us there, to get to that little edge, that little storyline, to make you go, okay, wow, these guys hate each other. Oh, this is the third time they've played this season, using NBA terms. Like, I'm in. You know what I mean? Or, oh, wow, if they win this game, they're going to up them in the division, which gives them a playoff seed. Like, those sorts of things matter to me. So that's one of the big reasons why I'm not for playoff expansion. I'm not for playoff format change. I really like the way it is. I liked it more the way it was before, but here we are.
Does it ruin the way we... Does it ruin how... Not how we view teams, but I think from the 913, they use a baseball analogy. And the same person who had texted in, you know, why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? They said Major League Baseball is already trying to expand for more teams. They can barely fill out a five-man rotation with the teams they have. So now we're just shoveling the bottom of the barrel for scraps. It'll ruin the integrity of the game. Do we feel like the NFL is not properly, like they're handing out participation trophies in a way if they're starting to do, like, it almost kind of feels that way with seven.
It does feel that way.
Because it wouldn't be the same, Mac. You brought up the stat of them being 1-10 or 1-9 or whatever in those 10 games. If it were 4-5, all right. But the fact that it's they're 1-7, the seven seeds are against two seeds, you're giving out a participation trophy. Yes. And if you didn't believe it, the record, the games are telling you themselves.
And they're not
that
close games.
Yeah, the games themselves are telling you that you're handing out a participation trophy because the results are consistently the same.
Well, Drew, go back to when it was six. When was the six seed making waves? It happened again. Maybe the Giants had that awesome
that
run.
That might be the only example.
But, like, come on, man. Yes. After that, it's not. Like, maybe a fun wild card win every now and then, but not often.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. 913-586-7965. Thank you very much for texting in your opinions.
Thank you.
On this. Up next, we're going to wrap up the show by talking about Sam Darnold. What would you do with him? The Raiders? How would you feel as Chiefs fans if Sam Darnold went to the Raiders? Would you be like, you know what? Same old Raiders. We don't got to worry about them. We'll talk about that next to wrap things up. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Studios.
After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Jacob Mustard producing the show for us. I'm frustrated at Jason Tatum because he's not demanding the ball. Your boys, Mac. You're a Celtics fan.
Oh,
they're down 14 to the freaking Raptors, who are 9-31. What's
not
the deal?
Loss. Drew's got money on Tatum, boys.
I just need Jason to get me four more points, bro. You're five.
How much time?
You're 5 of 15. A minute 20.
Sorry, bro.
I need him to be the star that he thinks he is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're not that right now.
Jalen, Porzingis, bruh. Give me Peyton Pritchard has 20 points.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard's been incredible this season. Peyton Pritchard's
he's been amazing.
Yeah, like sixth man of the year.
Okay.
Yes.
We're moving on from hoops now. Even though Mac Celtics are dropping another one, man.
Oh, no, not dropping another. Oh, no.
To the Raptors. Anyways, Sam Darnold. If he was on the Raiders, are you concerned? I almost laugh when I'm saying this sentence because I don't think
that's silly. It's a silly question.
If it's the text line that I have known and come to know over the last like year and a half, it doesn't matter who the Raiders bring in. Even at quarterback, I don't think it matters. Because as long as they got a bad head coach, it doesn't matter. Or if they have a bad head coach and a good quarterback, it doesn't matter. If they got a great head coach and a bad quarterback, it doesn't matter. They'd be like the Steelers. Let's say they bring in Ben Johnson, but they have Sam Darnold. Are you concerned?
No, not at all. You know, it sucks. 2 weeks ago, I did After Hours by myself, and I told everyone to suck it because I told everyone how good Sam Darnold was going to be. And 2 weeks ago, I was riding high, Drew. He was getting showered in the locker room after beating the Green Bay Packers. They were headed up to the Lions to have a chance at the one seed. He crapped the bed. Then I said, okay, it's one game. Listen, you get a chance, you get the blessing of getting to play two playoff games, and you get double elimination. So you're not doing that 2 weeks in a row. Then the next week happens, this last weekend against the Rams, and I go, okay, well, I can't defend this anymore. This is rough. I don't know. I was advocating for the Vikings. You have to pay Sam Darnold now. Now you don't. You don't tag him. You let him walk. He probably lost himself $15, $20 million in the last couple of weeks.
Crazy.
It sucks. I think the Raiders, as you mentioned, are a massive option for him. I think the Titans are a big option for Sam Darnold as well. I think the Tennessee Titans, first overall pick, they shouldn't get a quarterback this season. If I'm the Tennessee Titans, you don't go get a quarterback. You probably trade back that number one pick, acquire and accrue more draft capital, and then have Sam Darnold on a $3 for $55 million deal and try and be competent with the money that you spent in free agency, which, by the way, if you forgot, they spent the most money in free agency last season and they sucked and won 3 or 4 games this year. So Sam Darnold will at least elevate them a little bit. Hopefully, you know, Brian Callahan can figure something out. It was not his fault this season with what they gave him in Will Levis. So maybe the Titans are an option, but the Raiders, man, I mean, I'd feel really bad for Sam Darnold if he went to the Tennessee Titans or the Las Vegas Raiders, but especially the Raiders. Especially the Raiders.
Yes.
I mean, you'd be playing the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Chiefs twice a year, totaling 6 times. And then you have, who do you have at coach? Other than Brock Bowers, who do you have? The offensive line isn't there. The defense is trash. I don't know what the Raiders are doing. They don't have... The owner is bad. I don't know. I hope Sam Darnold doesn't go there. Don't go to Las Vegas.
I don't know if there's anything, like we had talked about a little bit on Cody and Gold. Like who's the team that you think over the next couple of years can challenge the Chiefs potentially to win the division? The Raiders didn't come up for obvious reasons. It was between, you know, Denver, Chargers, maybe. I don't know who of the two you would pick, but somebody from the 816 says, we're excited to play CJ Stroud and the Texans. Darnold on the Raiders is comical.
Yeah, we're excited to play CJ Stroud and the Texans.
I don't care about your hypotheticals. We're in the real thing.
Nah, I get it.
Stop being like the SEC and just throwing out hypotheticals left and right, please.
Ha, 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 ha.
This is nothing against UMAC or Tennessee. It's against the conference in itself.
I understand.
I'm sorry.
No, I understand. No, I'm in agreement for the most part with some of that stuff.
You guys, look, Chiefs fans, you guys are...
The best. Is what you're going to say?
You guys are ridiculously spoiled.
Awesome.
You have, like, first world problems. We're excited to play Stroud and the Texans. Do you realize that there are some teams, like Jacksonville, for instance, who have never done anything in their franchise's history except for stink, in all honesty?
I mean...
And I know that Chiefs fans said, look, I never been a Colts fan in my life. I was rooting for the Chiefs at one point when they were playing the Colts, and they blew the game. I understand you've been there before in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, for sure.
But you at least won some games. At least they had a Super Bowl to their name before Mahomes came in. The Jacksonville Jaguars have done nothing.
50 years, but yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have done nothing but stunk. Yeah. You know how lucky and fortunate the fan base is? This is not to bash them at all whatsoever.
To be fair, the Jaguars have been around since the 90s.
These are real conversations that some teams are having, all right?
I
feel like you got to respect it a little bit.
I think you're right. And I think Darnold, I mean, to the point of Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings.
It is comical. I agree.
The Minnesota Vikings have been to the NFC Championship 3 times in the last 27 years.
And Brett Favre was on one of those teams.
The Chiefs are about to do it for the 8th time in a row.
Yeah.
So to your point, I agree with you. Take this in. Like, really, take this all in.
You got to enjoy it now, you know, while it happens. Which, look, we're excited to play the tech. I get the text message, Mac. I get it.
I'm pumped. I'm with you, 816.
I get it.
But listen, I still have ties from, you know, lived in Nashville for better part of 10 years on and off. Did some sports radio there, obviously, and some of my ties there. You know, I'm seeing the rundowns that they're putting together on Twitter. You know, listen to us over here on the station from 10 to 2 or whatever it is, and I'm seeing their rundowns, and It's a list of 10 garbage can quarterbacks, Drew, and it's all right. Which one of these do you want to sign? And that's the conversation that other teams are having to have. We're sitting here with Patrick Mahomes getting ready for a three-peat. You know, it's nuts. I am so glad to be here.
The one thing that bothers me too about this, real quick before we exit,
yes,
is that if the Chiefs three-peat, there's literally nothing can ever be good enough for anybody else to say, like, hey. Aren't you happy for us that, like, if the Lions finally win a Super Bowl, like, next year or the year after that, aren't you happy for us? The lovable losers win. Chiefs fans will be like, you didn't three-peat. Like, you guys are going to be so cocky and arrogant. You can't even celebrate other teams having any success. It's ridiculous.
Nope.
He's Mac Maury. I'm Drew Nixon. Jacob Mustard on the key. Shout out to Jacob for producing the show. We're going to be back on Saturday again from 9 to noon. Do not miss it. We're going to get you ready for the Chiefs game against Houston Saturday morning. We'll catch you next time. Till then, peace.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. You've built a great podcast.
That content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.